This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I was 6 years old when the power of marketing got to me. I watched cartoons in the morning. Anybody remember cartoons used to come on, it's only on Saturday morning? So I'm watching cartoons and they had commercials. Man, these commercials could work kids pretty hard. And the one that got me was Red Ball Jet sneakers. Red Ball Jet sneakers, anybody remembers this? If you don't, you're going to need to ask your grandparents, unfortunately. Red Ball Jets, they said they will make you run faster and jump higher. And at 6 years old, I was looking for a competitive edge in neighborhood games. And this was going to do it. And I started talking to my man, I started just dogging my mom to buy me a pair of Red Ball Jets because they would make me run faster and jump higher. And so you say, did your mom do it? No. My mother and father were old school, and they thought when you're 6 years old, you don't need Red Ball Jets. You need Sears Jeepers, which were totally uncool sneakers. And at six, I felt like life had victimized me. I didn't like that, but I remember thinking I wanted an edge at six. I was looking for something. I was so glad that I missed the steroid age because I probably would have been the guy that would have gone that route, always looking for an edge. And really what you're looking for is strength. Looking for something to make you stronger. This morning, as we do our series, Connected, we're going to conclude our series this morning. I'm going to talk about connecting with strength, but it's a different kind of strength. If you look in our society, we glorify a few things. Youth, beauty, but we also glorify strength. Strength sells. I mean, how these testosterone supplements and testosterone clinics have popped up because if you're a guy over 30, we've already been told a lot. Your testosterone has just diminished. And pretty soon you're going to shrivel up into a little ball of nothing if you don't take something to help you. So we're like, yeah, whatever. Whatever we can take. My generation, especially the baby boomer generation, we're going to fight old age with everything we got. If you tell me you got a pill I can take or something, we're all into it. Testosterone for men has been selling like crazy. And then there's personal trainers. They have proliferated. Because, you know, nobody likes the idea of getting weaker. We want to get stronger. No one ever comes on television and say, hey, take this. It'll make you a lot weaker. No one wants that. So strength sells. Strength is celebrated. We celebrate Navy SEALs, elite athletes, even people who are nerds, who are brilliant. We celebrate them. We're like, oh yeah, these are mentally strong people. So it sells, it's celebrated, and we're cultivating it. I mean, one of the best-selling books last year was a book called Grit. And it's talking about how to persevere. Because they're starting to realize you don't just need physical strength, you need emotional strength to be able to deal with life. True story of a man who tweeted out his experience. He said that he was on his phone one day and he got a text message from his wife. It was attached to a selfie. She was pregnant and she was in a dressing room and she took a selfie and sent it to him. She says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" Guys, let me tell you something. If you've never been asked that question, there is a default answer to that. No. No. And that's what he wrote back to. He texted back his wife. No. N-O-O, and then a couple of exclamation marks. He said, but unfortunately, autocorrect kicked in. Anyone ever had autocorrect kick in on you? And it sent back to his lovely pregnant wife. Moo. That boy's going to need some strength because he's in trouble. So the idea of strength is something we're looking for. Emotional strength. How can I get stronger? How can I get stronger physically? How can I get stronger? Because we need strength for life. And I got good news for you today. There is emotional strength. There is physical strength. But thank God there's spiritual strength. That's a different kind of strength. It touches a different kind of realm. And Paul said this when he wrote the church at Philippi. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that's a great verse. My parents had me memorize that verse when I was just a little guy. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when Paul wrote that, he did not write that as an... He didn't say, I can do all things because I'm an apostle. He didn't say, I can do all things because I've had a special revelation from God. He said, I can do all things because of my relationship with Christ who strengthens me. That verse has been a powerful verse in my life for years. I was flying back from Houston to Greensboro, North Carolina to get all of our family belongings. Matthew was 2 years old. I'd just gotten a job. I was going to be selling cars, working a lot of hours. And we're getting a new apartment. I had just a lot of pressure that was on me. And I was riding back and I was reading that scripture out of my New Testament. And the Lord spoke to my heart. Didn't hear a voice, but he got his message across to me very, very clearly. He said, you don't need less pressure. You need more strength. And when I started thinking about it, I thought, man, that is so true, Lord. That's so profound. Because, you know, in life, you don't really want less pressure. If you have no pressure in life, you're not doing anything. But in life, if you're married, there's pressure. If you have a family, there's pressure. If you work, there's pressure. If you exist, there's pressure. We don't want less pressure. We just need the strength to get through it. And when Paul begins to write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what he's talking about is in context. He's saying, whatever God has called me to do and equipped me to do, I can do that because he'll strengthen me. Now, say, I could stand up here today and I don't say I can do all things. I'd never say that. I can do, Alan, can you do all things? Nope. I cannot do all things because I cannot be an NFL quarterback. Those days are over. No one's calling me. They're not going to call me. I can't do that. But God hasn't called me to be an NFL quarterback. He's called me to be a pastor, a father, a husband. And whatever he's called me to do, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whether you're called to business, or whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad just whatever, if you're stay-at-home or you're at work or you are a grandparent raising kids, let me tell you something. He can strengthen you to do that. If he's called you to do it, he can provide the strength to do it. You can tap in and connect with God's strength. This morning, that's what we're talking about, connecting with God's strength, because that's a powerful strength. That's a spiritual strength. And that will impact all parts of our life. I'm going to talk about this morning a story of a man who goes from weeping to winning. It's one of my favorite texts. I probably use this text as much as any other single biblical text here in the Ark because I really believe there's a message here, not just for me as your pastor, but for all of us. And it's the story of David and his 600 men. And they were living in a city called Ziklag. They were running from Saul, the king of Israel, who's trying to kill David. And then they went to the enemy land and they're living there in Ziklag. So they've got the city of Ziklag. They went away for a couple days. And when they come back, disaster had struck. Let's read the story. So David and his men came to the city and there it was burned with fire and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. From weeping to winning, connecting with God's strength. Can you imagine if you drove home today after church and you get home and you see some lights flashing on your neighborhood and you turn into your street and you see there's fire trucks all over the place and you're thinking, oh, this isn't good. And you pull up to your house and it's absolutely been burned to the ground. You know, last year, I was just thinking about this. Last year, this Sunday, we weren't having church. We were preparing for Hurricane Harvey. And the loss that took place, we all know people who got hit hard in Houston. That loss of flood, but can you imagine? Flood leaves something, fire leaves nothing. Everything is burnt, and you get out, and you run out of your car, you run up, and you start looking around, you're looking for family members, and somebody comes over to you and says, man, I'm sorry to tell you this, but people that burned your house down, they took your whole family. They've kidnapped them. They're gone. Can you imagine the agony that you'd be dealing with? Can you imagine how that would feel And when David and his men came back and Ziklag was burned and all that was to the ground and their wives and their kids, then David, can you imagine the mental torment? If your family's not dead, yet they're kidnapped, you think, okay, at least they're alive. Yeah, but you don't know what they're doing to them. So now you're just, your thoughts are tormenting. The Bible said they just wept until they couldn't cry anymore. They just wept. And then it gets worse for David. Because David's out, he's out walking through the camp and trying to encourage the men, but they're all giving him the stink eye. And they're starting to get, David probably had a couple of his lieutenants walking with him going, David, we just need to go to the tent. And David's like, no, I need to talk to the men. They're like, David, we don't want you to talk to the men. The men are talking about stoning you. Now, for those of you who have a drug background, that's not a good thing. That's talking taking rocks, and they hit you with it till you die. Just so we're clear. So David, they're talking about killing David. And so now David has the pain of knowing that these are people who loved him, who he led, who he helped. Now they've turned on him. Have you ever had anybody do that? People who were supposed to be close to you turn against you. And now they want to kill you. And the Bible says that David was not only distressed about this, he already had this personal loss. Now he's got people who've turned against him and they want to kill him. Now I've had people turn on me. We had a situation in the church a number of years ago where people turned on us. But Joy and I never walked through the hallways fearing for our lives. We walked through the hallway knowing maybe people are talking about us. It's still pain. And if anyone could feel like a victim, it's David. If anyone could go before the Lord and go, Lord, I don't understand this, and why am I having to go through this? I'm just trying to do what you want me to do. I didn't kill Saul when I could have, and Lord, but the Bible says something. David did something different. It said he was greatly distressed, and then it said, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, you read that and you go, how did he do that? Well, if you look at David's life, you begin to get a picture of David's life. You know, he started as a shepherd boy, probably out by himself a lot of the time. And somehow he began to reach up to the Lord, begin to sing. And David was the one that wrote some beautiful songs. David was the one who wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. David was the one that wrote, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And if you read the Psalms, you'll find between about 40 or 50 references where David calls God his strength or refers to God strengthening him. And we don't know everything that went on, but I imagine I could easily understand what took place as David ran everybody out of his tent, probably put some guards at the door, and David probably dropped down on his knees and lifted his hands and said, God, I don't understand everything that's going on, but I know you're God and I know you're strong. God, I know you're God and I know you're the refuge and the fortress. You're the strength of my life. You're my God and I can trust you like nobody else. And I do trust you, Lord. And you've taken me away from a lion and a bear. I was the one that killed Goliath. You're the God that can get me out of this situation. And David began to praise and to worship God. And you say, well, how do you know David got stronger? Because when he walked out, his prayers were different. When David walked out, he said, where's that priest? He said, he's over there. He said, get over here and bring me that ephod. That was a garment that they would wear. He put that ephod on, and here was his prayer. Lord, you want me to go after them? He had 600 men. Who knows how many Amalekites had come in there? There was a whole lot of them. David's like, you want me to go get them, Lord? Do you want me to pursue them? He's not like, God, what do I do? He's like, God, how do you want me to win this? He prayed aggressively. That tells me, man, he's gotten stronger. There's a true story of a lady in Mobile, Alabama, a number of years ago, took her little boy in to do some grocery shopping, and they passed the cookie aisle. And the little boy saw some chocolate chip cookies, and he said, Mama, can I have a package of chocolate chip cookies? His mama said, no, and I told you not to ask me. 2 hours later, he said, Mama, can I have just a couple of chocolate chip cookies? She said, no, and what did I tell you about begging? They got up close to checkout, and he said, Mama, can I have one chocolate chip cookie? And she said, no. And then she said, as this little guy, he's about 3 years old, he rose up, lifted his big brown eyes to heaven, lifted both hands and said, in the name of Jesus, give me some cookies. Said people behind just began to clap. They just said, enjoy. She said, and then they began to slip out to the cookie aisle. And by the time she loaded her groceries up, she had 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. in that car. Now, I don't know about his theology, but I'll tell you this, that's an aggressive prayer. It's a prayer that's, it's a get something done prayer. And when David went from weeping and crying and being so distressed to a man who's like, how do we pursue? How do we go after these guys? And I'll finish the rest of the story. He takes 600 guys. They go after him. 200 stay behind. He keeps going with 400. They caught those Amalekites and they beat them like a rented mule. Man, they beat them down and took, they got all their kids back, all their wives back, all their stuff back, and all the stuff the Amalekites had stole from other people. Isn't that like God to flip the script? What started off bad, he can absolutely turn around and you can wind up better off than where you were to begin with. And that's where they wound up. He can do that. But he would not have been able to do that if David had not strengthened himself and stepped up and said, we're going to do this. How do you connect with God's strength? Say, Alan, I don't know if I can connect with God's strength. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. I'm not a leader. I'm just a Christian. Well, one, don't ever say I'm just a Christian, because if you're a Christian, you're part of a strong family. You're part of a family that's been redeemed, that's been purchased, that's been forgiven, that's been bought, that's been cleansed. You're part of a strong family. You come from a heritage of strong people, and you are stronger than you think. So how do I get stronger? How do you connect with God's strength? It's interesting that spiritual strength and physical strength are very similar. If you went to a personal trainer and said, you know, I'm going to run a triathlon, and I know I've got to get stronger. Or you're saying, I just want to be able to get around the house and get upstairs without huffing and puffing. I know I've got to get stronger. I'm going to hire you as my personal trainer. A personal trainer, the first thing he's going to talk to you about is, what do you eat? You got to have the right diet. And you tell him, well, I'm on the 3C diet. You know, there's the Atkins diet, paleo diet, keto. Is that keto diet? Yeah. Keto. On the 3C diet. That means I consume three things: Cheetos, cupcakes, and Coke. If your personal trainer said, oh, that's a great diet, let's try that for a month and see how you wind up. You eat nothing but Cheetos, cupcakes, and Coke, regular Coke, not zero, regular Coke. You eat that three times a day for an entire month. Ooh, you're not gonna be stronger. You will be bigger, but you're not going to be stronger. You don't have to be a nutritionist to know that if you eat Cheetos, cupcakes, and drink Coke three times a day, every day of the week, it's not going to help you. If you need to get stronger, you need the right kind of fuel in your body. If you want to get stronger physically, you got to eat right. If you want to get stronger spiritually, spiritual strength requires spiritual food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone or Cheetos alone. Man shall live by the word of God. And so Paul said this, actually Peter said this, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You hear me talk about reading your Bible. You think I get brownie points in heaven by getting you to read your Bible. No, reading your Bible feeds you spiritually with the right kind of food. You say, well, you know, Alan, I've been reading my Bible. I don't necessarily feel stronger. What's that kind of like saying? Well, I just ate a meal. I don't feel stronger. But if you keep eating the right things, you're going to get stronger. You got to eat right. We've got that Project 345. Guys, let me encourage you to do it. You can do this. One chapter a day, 5 days a week. You can do it, and it's going to feed you spiritually. The second thing you're going to want to do is, if you want to get stronger, if you went to their personal trainer, you say, I want to get stronger, you got to eat right, and then you have to exercise. Now, I realize for some of you, I just cussed. But exercise is good. You know you're going to have to exercise to get stronger. And you say, well, what's a spiritual exercise? I'm going to give you one today that will really help you, and it's something all of us can do. Jesus said this in Matthew, the 21st chapter. He said, and Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Now hold that thought. Jesus said, have you never read? What he's doing is he's quoting scripture. And the scripture he was quoting was Psalms 8:2 that said, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have established strength because of your enemies, that you may steal the enemy and the avenger. Jesus quoted half of that verse, but he equated praise and strength together. Now, here's a wonderful spiritual exercise that you can begin to do. Instead of when you're in facing difficult times like David was, you don't want to just simply quietly try to solve this. One of the best things you can do is begin to out of your mouth praise God. If you can out of your mouth praise Him. Remember, Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. So in other words, this is something that needs to come out of you. And as you begin to do this, and listen, exercise, you know this, exercise is not easy, but once you start doing it, you feel better about it. Once you get into it and finally get up and get going, you feel better about it. And you can begin to praise God, you can sing, you can worship, and you can do something. Let me just show you what I do. We started our series with this, we'll end our series with this. Let me just show you what I do. I take the Psalms and I've got a room that's away, and Joy and I, she doesn't hear me, I don't hear her. And I'll just take this, like Psalms 18. And I'll say, I love you. This is Psalms 18, 1 through 3. I love you, Lord, O my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now what I'll do is I'll just take that and go right back over there. Say, Lord, I love you. You are the strength of my life. Lord, I love you, my strength. Lord, you're my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're my strength. I trust in you. Lord, you're my shield. You're my protection. You're my salvation. You are my stronghold. Lord, I call upon you. You are worthy. Lord, you are worthy of all the praise I can offer you. You are worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. What are you doing? You're just taking these Psalms and you're praising God with them. And that's a spiritual exercise. You say, well, Alan, I've never done that before. And that kind of feels awkward. Listen, everything that's new that you start off doing feels awkward. Do you remember riding a bike? Remember getting on the bike? We got kids in our neighborhood and they're learning how to ride a bike. And it's kind of like, they're like, how do I stop? How do I stop? He didn't do a good job. Bam. But he gets up again and goes. Remember driving a car? Remember how you drove a car? First started, you're like, put it in D. Look behind, and then you're just kind of awkward with how you're doing it, but you didn't go, well, it's awkward, I can't do this. How about your first kiss? You're in seventh grade playing spin the bottle. And your first kiss was kind of like, you didn't go through that just and go home and walk in the house and go, I'm never kissing anybody again. I don't like that at all. No, if it's good, it's worth practicing. And if you practice, you'll get good at it. And you get better. Nobody gives up on driving or riding a bike just because they can't do it good the first time. Hey, why don't we not give up on praise just because we hadn't done it before? Why don't we just go ahead and begin to put it in our mouth? Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. When you're in praise mode, you are in strength mode. There is strength coming out of you when you're beginning to praise God. Don't try to solve things quietly by just kind of getting in. Because let me tell you something, the enemy will beat you up on your thoughts. And you got thoughts just running through your head. Say, how do I get these thoughts running through my head? Bring your Bible out. Find a psalm. Begin to say, Lord, you're my rock. You're my strength. You're my fortress. You are the one I trust. I'm praising you. And the enemy's going to have to be quiet. You begin to do that. What are you hearing? Strength, rock, fortress, deliver. Man, it's like a life spiral. You got faith coming out, faith coming in. It's a great way to go. And there's another thing that happens when you do that. You begin to activate the strengthener. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said this. He said in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, he said, I remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, how do you stir up the gift of God? The Holy Spirit is the gift of God on the inside of us. He's not weak. He's not helpless. He's powerful. He's strong. He's sound thinking. And the Holy Spirit, you say, how do you stir Him up? He's voice activated. You know, Siri is voice activated. You got to go, hey, Siri, before she'll do anything. If you just look at your phone just looks at you. But if you'll go, hey, Siri, Siri goes, what do you want? And you try to tell it what to do, and good luck with that. But anyway, when you begin to praise and you begin to worship And you just taking those scriptures, and what are you doing? You're stirring up the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He'll get in there and help you. His word is not just helper. He is the strengthener. And he is someone who can strengthen our life. He's the Spirit of power. Now, I was listening this week to a blog on Alabama's football program, and the Roll Tide, and they were talking with their strength coach. And this is what the strength coach said. He said at Alabama, he said we don't let the guys bend over when they're running sprints. So in other words, they run these 110-yard sprints. And you run 110 yards. Well, you're a big old lineman running 110 yards. You're tired when you hit the end. He said, when you're tired, he said, he won't let them bend over. Sometimes the tendency is you want to do this. You just want to bend over like this. He said, we don't let them bend over. He said, in fact, if one person bends over, everybody runs again. You're like, that's crazy. No, he said, there's a reason behind that. He said, in the fourth quarter, he said, I never want those guys bending over. He said, when you bend over like this, he said, it sends a message to your opponent that you are weak, and that they'll start licking their chops. They're thinking, I got you now, I got you now. He said, when you stand upright, you send them a message that you're still strong. You're going to still have to deal with me. I heard that. I went, oh, that will preach. Because when you're just all quiet and bent over and not saying anything, the enemy's thinking, I got him, I can whoop on them now. But when you stand up and lift your arms and say, God, you're the God of my life, you're the strength of my life, you send a message. And the message is, oh no, you're not beating me. This will steal the enemy and the avenger. Oh no, I know how this is going to turn out, and God is helping me. And you send a message of strength. How do you know you're getting stronger? You know you're getting stronger when you're willing to take on challenges that maybe you've been avoiding for a while. When you wake up one morning and you go, I'm going to clean that garage. You're strong. When you lean into a conflict, you're strong. You know you're getting stronger when the negatives and the loss in your life are not the biggest part of your life. You're able to move past them. All of us have negatives. I failed at my first church. It just absolutely did not work. And when I first started the Ark, I talked a lot about that. But I've noticed over the years, I don't talk about that anymore. Why? The Lord's helped me. I've gotten stronger. I've gotten past that. When you get stronger, you're able to move past the negatives. When you get stronger, you're able to move past what people have done to you. Now, this is where all of us get caught up. People have said things. People have done things. People have betrayed you. People have done awful things. If you keep looping that around in your head, it's not going to make you stronger. It makes you weaker. But when you begin to get stronger, you begin to realize, God, I realize some things happened in my life that probably should have never happened. And people have done things to me that should have never happened. But God, you're bigger than that. And that what they've done does not define my life. Your strength defines my life. You are the God of my strength. When you get stronger, your prayers change. And instead of praying, oh God, why? You begin to pray, God, how can we do this? How can we move forward? How can we take this land? Dr. Mark Rutland shared about when he prays, he's coming back again. He's one of our favorite speakers. And when he prays, you'll listen to him pray. He'll say, in the name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. I love that. I thought we don't talk enough about how strong Jesus was. But to endure all the persecution he took when he was on the earth, you got to be strong. To endure people betraying you, you got to be strong. To endure the cross and the pain and the suffering that he went through on the cross, and he did it for us, you got to be strong. He is the strong Son of God. So if anybody understands strength, it's him. And if anyone can strengthen our lives, it's him. So when we connect with him, we begin to connect with God's strength. And then the Bible says we can go from strength to strength. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to ask, please, no one leaving or moving just for a couple of minutes here. If you came today and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do, but I want to be sure. If you came this morning and said, Alan, I walked away from the Lord. I know I had a relationship with him at one time, but I've walked away from him. I know it. He knows it. But I want to come back. I want to connect with the one who loves me, the one who makes me strong, because this is where strength begins. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to, say, either I know I want a relationship with the Lord, or I know I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? We're not going to ask you to stand up. We're not going to ask you to come to the front, but I am going to ask you to do one thing. I just need you to shoot your hand up real quick across this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Alan, would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you for your courage. It takes courage to do that. Anybody else? Say, would you pray for me? Thank you for your hands. Thank you for that. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. You say, oh, I missed it. I missed my opportunity. You didn't miss your opportunity. We're going to pray. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray this straight out of our heart. We're going to join you as a church family. Everyone pray this so you can hear yourself pray it out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Now, if heads are bowed and eyes are closed still. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those who have stepped out of darkness and come into your marvelous light, and for those who have come back home. Lord, we're appreciative of that. We thank you for that. And for the rest of us, thank you that you are a God of strength. Thank you that you want your children strong. Thank you that we can connect with you and connect with your strength in even a greater way in the days ahead. And Lord, we give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.